Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We heard from Aaron Boone starting at noon and then Brian Cashman. And my main takeaway, man, the Yankees are banged up before opening day even happens here. I had no idea that Volpe wasn't going to be ready for opening day. So that's one. Carlos Rodon, I don't know if anybody knew that he was having a procedure that's going to have him out opening day. Now, it doesn't seem like it's going to be significant beyond that, but still. And Gerrit Cole's not going to be ready for opening day. So already, before we get started here, before we could digest what happened this season, opening day impacted for the Yankees next year.
Which obviously complicates or clouds what they do in terms of player pursuit this offseason. Yeah, that's the theme for me. There's some other ones we'll get into here. So listen, this is a ray of good news. No surgery for Judge, so at least something good. Cole's on target, although probably not for opening day, but on target in terms of when he had the surgery. The Volpe thing, I want to get back to that in a minute. The Rodon thing was out of left field for me. I didn't hear that once. So he's not going to throw for 8 weeks, which isn't a big deal at this point, but more late April, early May. So Yankees very well, depending upon when Cole tracks back and when Rodon comes back. Schmidt's not going to be back until August. The Yankees are going to be down a few starting pitchers. All right, to start the first month or so. The Volpe stuff. See, to me, the biggest issue is, yeah, it's not great that he's going to can't hit for 4 months and can't dive for six, but that's not even what I'm thinking. It's not ideal, but the biggest issue is that he has to overhaul his hitting approach. And when you can't swing a bat for 4 months, I want somebody to tell me how Anthony Volpe, whenever he gets back, whether it's 2 months in or 3 months in or 1 month in, how is Anthony Volpe going to be an improved hitter when he can't work at all this winter on hitting?
Yeah, and even if he doesn't need to change his approach, the idea that he wouldn't have a normal offseason is going to be a negative to begin with. You're talking about a player who most fans want to move on from anyway. You heard Brian Cashman double down and say, we believe in Volpe, basically, that it's a bad thing for us that he's not going to be our opening day shortstop, which makes me think they're not going to go out there and get somebody else. I personally would move on. Not saying you get a jettison Volpe. Maybe you move him to second base eventually. But I don't know how you could count on this season going into it, even without the injury or the surgery. But now with that, to your point, how could you trust on Volpe being what you thought he was going to be?
You can't. There's two issues at play here. Number one, the young player is not healthy. Number two, the young player is really just nowhere good enough to be the starting shortstop right now with the bat on a team that's trying to win a championship. But if you can't, if you can't put any work in during the winter, you're just not going to be coming. You're not going to come back an improved player. So think about it like this: take Mitchell Robinson, all right, who is a horrendous free throw shooter and probably always will be for the rest of his life. But just imagine if he had an elbow or a shoulder labrum surgery and he literally could not take a free throw all off season. How's he getting better? He's not. And I got to tell you, I actually heard something a little different from Cashman pertaining to Volpe. I heard the first flinch. It was early, and it was three words, but it was never this up in the air. And then he went back, and he kind of did reinforce the thought that they like him and all the good stuff. But the first question when he was asked about Volpe, hey, is Anthony your starting shortstop in 2026? And the first three words out of his mouth were, I think so. Never like,
but could that have been about the injury, or we knew definitively he's not going to be ready for opening day?
That's a good question. I didn't take it as depending upon the medical return or the healing process. I took it. Now, this is my interpretation. Could be off on this, that there's just a little self-doubt. Let's be honest, in the organization, I mean, nobody was as cocky and as combative as Cashman was a year ago defending Volpe. And the first thing what he says, I think so. And even if Cashman meant it just medically and not from a performance perspective, it doesn't matter anymore because next year is year four.
But he also did excuse his performance a little bit with the injury.
And Boone did not.
Correct.
They were not on the same page with
Volpe.
That.
And Cashman was going against what Volpe himself said and what Boone said.
Yes.
Just defending his player. I think it was his soft way of defending Volpe. He can't do it vehemently the way that he did it last year.
He's got
he
no
looked
juice.
Like an idiot. He can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he did still defend. Bottom line is, I would move on from Volpe. they are going to stick with Anthony Volpe. Now, they're going to have to get somebody else in the short term. Is it Caballero? Who knows who's going to play short until he's ready? I can't imagine you going into the season like that, not knowing if and when he's going to come back. And then when he does come back, the uncertainty of it. But I believe that's what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, listen, I don't think there's any reason to get rid of Anthony Volpe because Anthony Volpe is not due some massive, massive financial commitment. He's still making relative peanuts, you know, compared to other, you know, he's not a star, but other players in baseball. Now,
when I say move on, by the way, I don't mean just...
You don't mean jettison. You mean maybe second base or bench or something like
whatever.
That?
Whatever. You put him down in the minors or work his way back up. I would move on from him being my starting big league shortstop.
Fair enough. I wouldn't yet, but I got you. I don't have many, much room to stand on anymore with that. You know that. Okay. So the thing about... and they were on different pages, and I'm not trying to create drama where there's no drama, but they said two very different things with Volpe, Boone and Cash. I do think, to be fair to Cashman, the difference with a general manager being in the weeds medically versus Boone, you know, now the medical charts, like Boone's got so many people to worry about and player development and offseason workouts. It's Brian's job, I think, more intimately, so when to know what's going on medically. When Brian said that the MRI, and this happens, I don't care how advanced medicine is, this still does happen. When the MRI says one thing, when you slice somebody open, it could be a lot worse than even the best reading of an imaging can tell you. So I think that's what happens. I think it's a little bit middle of the road. I think Volpe wanted to keep going. They did the testing to see if he was okay. He was. And then, you know, maybe you dive on it, it flares up again. And then when they went in, they're like, whoa, this is absolutely worse than we thought. And, you know, maybe they now Boone didn't say that. Cashman did. I don't know. It's a little bit of everything, but I think Cashman actually handled that part pretty well.
Well, also, both can be true. I mean, you have to acknowledge that at some point it probably impacted his performance. However, it's not an excuse because it's year three and he hasn't been anywhere near as good as he was supposed to be. So I think that both are true to a certain extent. More breaking down the press conferences from Boone and Cashman when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Call today, of course, Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, who were addressing the media. The first time both of them speaking since the season ended. Obviously, Boone was there right after the game, you know, a week ago when the Yanks were eliminated. But the year-end press conference, and I got to tell you, you know, we had the little BT and Sal, Brian Cashman press conference bingo. Dude, this was like, what was it, Hoffa with Geraldo there with the disappointment looking for the save for the vault, and it was nothing. There was nothing. I expected fireworks. Nobody's going to ask Brian Cashman or Booney to respond to what Jeter and A-Rod said. Scathing remarks. So you didn't get any of that. You did get a little bit of the trust our process. We believe in Volpe. Had a really good team. Full support of ownership. And there was one moment where Cashman alluded to the Astros cheating them out of the World Series. He did say that a little bit later on. But a different type of tone that I thought we were going to get from Brian Cashman.
And you got Spencer Jones as well.
Spencer Jones in there,
that was,
yes.
That was brought up by, that
but
was
still,
the last question.
I mean,
yeah,
yeah.
All right, so my takeaway with Cash is today, you know, he was definitely very pensive, as he often is, you know, a code for rambling. You know, he's throwing it on and on and on. He was very measured, didn't say anything, you know, really off messaging today. I thought he'd be more combative. I thought it would be more spicy. I thought it would be more fiery, and I got to tell you there, Sal, for the first time, I thought Brian Cashman sounded tired. Like, I'm watching him, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm not saying he's not capable of doing the job, even though I, you know, would have moved on a couple of years ago, over due respect. It didn't sound like he had a lot of oomph in his delivery today. Now, he's not a comedian up on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not some musical act that you pay a couple hundred bucks a ticket to go and watch. He's a general manager. So I don't need some incredibly over-the-top, nutty presentation to make me feel better, because the only thing that matters is what they do during the offseason. And now they've got some injuries that they've got to obviously work around, as we talked about. But he just seemed, to me, he seemed tired.
Well, I mean, maybe he's just... obviously he's disappointed with the same result and maybe thinking, well, we've tried to do this thing a few different ways and just nothing has been good enough, but we built a team that won 94 games. Toronto had our number, couldn't get past Toronto. Maybe in his mind he believes it would have been a different result had they were able to spell the Blue Jays. Maybe they beat the Mariners, whatever the case may be. Maybe they go in the wild. I can't tell you exactly what he's thinking other than it's been the same thing for a long time. They believe that they build a team that's good enough to get through the postseason and go win a World Series, but yet they keep falling short in the postseason, which I believe they believe is a crapshoot. So you could, like, he basically said we had as good a chance as anybody going in. We tried to upgrade the team the best that we could. We did. We'll do it again. With ownership gives us the resources to go out there and put together a team to compete legitimately for a World Series every year. It just doesn't always happen. Unfortunately, it hasn't happened since 2009. It's a long time. And we do believe, like, there's a reason for it. It's not just a crapshoot. The way the Yankees constructed their team has not been good enough. That's for me. And I don't know if he's going to agree with that or not, but we've seen the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I think the only thing that was different for me this year is that it felt more like a team that actually could get to and win a World Series, you know. So many of these versions of the Yankees, I mean, if you know anything about baseball, then you're able to take off the fandom, the hat for a moment, and look at things objectively. You know, most Yankee fans understood where this team was for a big chunk. And I don't just mean, you know, post-championship 09, because there were times where I'm like, all right, you know, the baby bombers, here we go.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the last few iterations, outside of last year, of course, when they got to the World Series. I'm like, this team doesn't have it. Are you kidding me?
Well, let me ask you something. You think the Blue Jays are a better team?
I think top to bottom, their lineup is more potent. A better team? No, I don't.
You don't think
only because of the starting pitching. Now, I know that Fried got rocked and Rodon wasn't very good, like, and Bichette didn't play. Like, honestly, like, A to Z, I think it's close.
I don't know how you could say that. I thought this was a layup. Definitively, the Blue Jays are a better team. By any match, dude, they played them at that. They owned them all year
long. Yeah, I know. That's why I hesitated. They smoked them.
Even the Yankees would admit the Blue Jays were a better team. So then my counter to that would be, why? How is it possible that Toronto, like, if I'm Hal, I go to Brian and Booney and be like, okay, you told me this was the best team that we've had since 2018. I give you the resources on par with the top in the sport, maybe not as much as the other teams do, but you know, right there with the Mets, Dodgers, whatever. How come the Blue Jays were able to build a better team than what we have here? That's what I want to know. Or if you don't think that they're better, whatever, fair enough, semantics maybe. But
definitely better at certain things, like putting the ball in play, and that matters.
How come they were able to beat us in the regular season, different versions of our team? They beat us up in the regular season and dominated us in the postseason. Why was that the case? That's what I would want an answer to. It can't just be, well, we got owned by the Blue Jays.
That's random.
We'll try to do it again.
That's fair.
Next year.
That's very, very fair. By the way, you mentioned Hal, right? So Cashman, here's what he said with his conversations with Hal after the Yankees got eliminated. Quote, he's frustrated. He's disappointed. He wants a championship. He wants one for him and his family. They believe many times we had a chance to do something, and he knows opportunity lost for all of us. So generally, Cashman, you know, when he talks of how it's about support, the resources, hey, bring something to me. I'll let you know if we could do it. Generally, he does most things. That is where I would like to hear from Hal. It doesn't change the result, but if the general manager is telling me that he's frustrated, he's disappointed, I think at some point Hal's got to communicate that to the fans. You're not a day-to-day liaison to the fans. That's Boone. Or a periodical liaison, which is Cashman, right, with the quarterly updates during the season, if you will. Trade deadline, whatever, spring training. But you are the big guy. Like, this is your team, and this is your checkbook, and it is your right. I know it's not his personality. I get that. I don't mean he's going to be a raving lunatic like his pops, but you could parachute in and let us know what you're thinking about getting mopped by Toronto.
I think you just hit on the main theme of this whole thing. Like, today's day was, okay, let's hear from Boone, let's hear from Cashman, and really we didn't get much other than the injury updates and a little bit here or there. But really, what can they say? We already know what they think because we've heard from them repeatedly. We need to hear from the guy who's making the decision to continue employing Cashman and Boone. Not saying that they deserve to be fired or whatever, but just not changing anything and still expecting a different result.
Yeah.
What does he think? Cashman's tried it different ways. They've had different versions of the team. Plan B, tried for Soto. None of it's worked. So what does Hal think of the results year after year after year, falling short of winning a World Series?
It's such a simple question, but it speaks to everything that the Yankee fan deserves it and would want to know. Like, if Hal's up there, you know, and whether it's Andy or anybody else who Joel, you know, covers the sport for their livelihood, you could frame it however you want. But here's how I would frame it respectfully. You know, Hal, you've been doing this for a long time, and you've given Yankee fans a lot of good moments with teams that are really, really good. You haven't won since 2009, yet you have the same general manager, and, you know, you've had the manager same for almost a decade here. Why are they still... Or however you want, but you've got to...
What do you got to do to change?
Yeah, well, you got to put him on record why he believes, and again, my focus is more on the general manager. Hal, why do you believe that Brian is still the guy? The sport's changed, things have evolved. Has he evolved enough with the sport? It's kind of, outside of this year a little bit, you've kind of lost the same way. Strikeouts, errors, shoddy base. Again, a little bit different this year, to be fair. But it's been a similar ouster. It's been, when the Yankees lose, it's never pretty. Like, the Dodgers absolutely destroyed them. The Yankees threw up all over themselves last year. The Astros in 2022, Yankees looked like a JV team. They had a 590 OPS. They struck out, I think it was 75 times in the series. It was gross. So they kind of lose the same way. And honestly, Hal is accepting of it.
Right. This wasn't some grueling five-game series where they lost in the ninth inning and just be like, you know, that's unfortunate, a little bad luck. They got outclassed by Toronto all year long. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Big Week 7. When was the last time we could say that in New York football?
Ain't big for me.
No, it is. No, it's just teasing. It still is.
It's big for the Giants, no doubt.
Well, but not only that, it is obviously big for the Giants with a huge game at 4 o'clock, but it is also big for the Jets in that they have to get a win. They need a win, BT. Like,
they ain't going to win without Garrett Wilson.
It's not that. Well, why not? Why not? They haven't won
with
Garrett Wilson.
They can't win with Garrett Wilson.
Okay, so Garrett Wilson doesn't make a difference. I'm sorry. you may not want to admit it. Jet fans don't want to admit it. Oh, Garrett Wilson, like, he could do no wrong.
Stop. He's tremendous. He's one of the best players they got.
BT, they have lost consistently with him.
He makes, aware.
He makes zero difference.
What receiver does? What's Jamar Chase doing without
Bingo.
Burrow?
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Malik Nabers, same thing. It's why I would have been like, Malik Nabers not here, and really it doesn't matter because they're excited about Jackson Dart. So it's not to say that you wouldn't want Malik Nabers or a player like Garrett Wilson, but if they could lose consistently with Garrett Wilson, I'm not going to think they can't win a game without him.
Well, forget about, listen, the concept of like building a roster, that's one thing, because I don't completely disagree, but like at least pertaining to this week, I mean, they can't score points with Garrett Wilson. I don't even know who their receivers are going to be.
Right. Okay. So you don't think they're going to win the game?
No, I don't think they're going to win the game.
And I'll bet you that they do win the game.
They might.
Yeah.
What do you want to bet? What do you want to bet?
No, whatever. I mean, I'm going to pick and we can find out. But my whole principle is the same thing you could have said last week. Wow, how are the Giants going to beat the Eagles without Malik Nabers? Even if they had Nabers, they weren't going to be able to beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
But how would they ever possibly beat the Eagles without Nabers? Who are they throwing the ball
to? It's called having a good quarterback, which the Jets don't.
Okay, well, that's a different story, but it has nothing to do with Garrett Wilson.
We got to come up with good bets. Jets are not winning.
Little Jordan Humphrey, who would have thought that he would be the guy to help Jackson Dart along in the game with the Eagles? Either way, it is going to be an exciting Sunday when you talk about 1 o'clock. Now, look, I'm not going to be locked in dynasty Jets Panthers football. I'm just saying that there is some intrigue with them at least trying to get off the mat and get a win here. Because if not, BT, you know what's going to happen? The irrelevant Jets or the apathy toward the Jets, it's not going to be there when the losses continue to mount up to an 0-8, 0-7, whatever, 0-9.
Mm-hmm.
The winless streak, 1-6, 1-8 is far different from 0-whatever.
Oh, it's a different energy.
Correct. So as long as they don't, like, the best thing would be to get a win and get everybody off their back, and then the apathy could set in. If they win this week, all right, good. They beat the Panthers. They won a game. They're not going to go winless. Now leave them alone. Let's focus on the Giants solely with Jackson Dart. But that's why I do think it is a big Week 7. And anyway, we'll have plenty to do on that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some other games here. I mean, it's really not a lot of great guys. All right, I am curious what Philly looks like in Minnesota. Obviously, Giants, Broncos. Colts, Chargers, pretty interesting. Commanders, Cowboys, maybe more so for the Giants. See what happens in the division. Yeah, I mean, the season's flying by, dude. I cannot believe it's Week 7. That is fast.
So we didn't get Cashman's answer on A-Rod or Jeter, but maybe we will get that with Evan and Tiki. 220, you said, Hoff? Cashman will join Evan and Tiki live at 220. I'm sure those guys will have you know, some different questions, let's put it that way, for Brian Cashman.
And just in case Cashman's not sure what they're asking about, if they do go to the A-Rod well, feel free to pull the audio from BT and Sal chatting with A-Rod about 2 weeks ago and play it for him.
Well, no. I know
he said it on Fox.
Oh, I was saying, did he say, well, Jeter, right? I didn't rip him on
also,
Fox. I got
the
yeah,
way
yeah.
the team's built, et cetera.
Either
That'll
way.
Be good. Cash
either way,
coming
so
on good.
Cashman be on with them at 2:20, so you get more Brian nice. Cashman with Evan and Tiki. You know, as we put a wrap on the Yankees, you know, well, I would say disappointing. And nobody even asked him really, you know, how to sum up the season. He said, obviously, they got to be better. It wasn't good enough, or whatever his exact words. I think he said it wasn't good enough. But you take that probably more often than not. Unfortunately, with the Yankees, they're held to a higher standard. One of which, hey, if you don't win a championship in, you know, 16 years and counting, their longest drought between championships in franchise history, I'm sorry, but that's the standard for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, it was. I mean, everybody's saying that they're held to a different standard. By who? I mean, by the fans. We might hold them to a different standard, but the owner doesn't. Like, that, it's funny because you think about the standard that's been set. Okay, but if there's no repercussion for not hitting the standard, well, then what is the standard? Is it really the standard? Hey, listen, if you don't get at least a 90 on your test, guess what? You're going to lose your iPad for a week. Kid comes on to 79. He jumps on. He plays Roblox. Well, is there a repercussion? The standard that you told them that you promised about, if you don't achieve a certain level of right. Academic, whatever it might be, well, if nothing happens, if nothing negative, if nothing's taken away, then to me, the standard has shifted. It sounds good. It sounds big. Yankees 27, going for 28. They don't win. Everybody's here. Where's the standard?
All right, that does it for us. So stay tuned. Evan and Tiki, they'll have Brian Cashman 2:20. So more on that with them. Thanks to Dove. Good to have Dove back in the house after a couple of days off. Thanks to Hoff, as always, for his hard work. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back tomorrow on a Football Friday ahead of Week 7, 10 a.m. We'll see you then. Evan and Tiki, you're next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.